Would you turn, please, now to responsive reading number 515? And read together with me responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases,
who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Do you now turn, please, to hymn 218.
Part of seminary life together is to experience worship in different ways, to know the richness of various liturgies, today probably being more like a meeting house of friends. And I want to share as our meditation today from the writings of Thomas Merton, in a little book he entitled New Seeds of Contemplation. One of the clues to Merton is to understand that what he has been trying to say throughout all of his writings is that the more I discover my true identity in God, the more I am like what God has been calling me to be in that word that we use for salvation. After I read a part of the meditations, we will have a time of silence and then a closing prayer. A tree gives glory to God simply by being a tree. For in being what God means it to be, it is obeying Him. It, so to speak, consents to His creative love. It is expressing an idea which is in God and which is not distinct from the essence of God. And therefore, a tree imitates God by being a tree. The more a tree is like itself, the more it is like Him. If it tried to be something else, which it was never intended to be, it would be less like God, and therefore would give Him less glory. But what about you, and what about me? Unlike the animals and the trees, it's not enough for us to be what our nature intends. It is not enough for us to be individual men and women. For us, our holiness is more than mere humanity. If we are never anything but men and women, never anything but people, we will not be saints, and we will not be able to offer to God the worship of our imitation, which is called sanctity. It is true to say, therefore, that for me, sanctity consists in being myself. And for you, sanctity consists in being yourself. And that in the last analysis, your sanctity will never be mine, and mine will never be yours, except in that beautiful communism of charity and grace. For me to be a saint, therefore, is to be myself. The problem of sanctity and salvation is a problem of finding out who I am and discovering my true self. Now, trees and animals have no problem. God makes them what they are without consulting them, and they are perfectly satisfied. But with you and me, it is different. God leaves us free to be what we would like to be. We can be ourselves or not, as we please. We are at liberty to be real or unreal. We may be true or we may be false. The choice is ours. We may now wear one mask and now another. The choice is ours. And if we so desire, never appear with our own true face. But we cannot make these choices without impunity. Causes do have effects. And if we lie to ourselves and to others, then we cannot expect to find truth and reality whenever we happen to want them. If we have chosen the way of falsity, we must not be surprised that the truth eludes us when we finally come to need it. And so our vocation, our calling, is not simply to be, but to work together with God in the creation of our own life, our own identity, our own destiny. We are free beings, sons and daughters of God, and this means to say that we should not passively exist, but actively participate in His creative freedom, in our own lives, in the lives of others, by choosing the truth. To put it better, we are called to share with God the work of creating the truth of our identity. Now, we can evade this responsibility by playing with masks, and sometimes this pleases us because it can appear at times to be a free and a creative way of living. It is quite easy, it seems, to please everyone, but in the long run, the cost and the sorrow are very high. To work out our own identity in God, which the Bible calls working out our salvation in fear and trembling, is a labor that requires sacrifice, anguish, risk, and many tears. It demands close attention to reality at every moment, and a great fidelity to God as He reveals Himself obscurely in each new situation. But every one of us is shadowed by an illusory person, a false self. This is the person that I want to be, but who cannot exist because God knows nothing about him. That person is the one that I have chosen, in which I measure myself against who you are. I have what you have not. I am what you are not. I've taken what you failed to take. I've seized what you could never have gotten. Therefore, you suffer and I'm happy. You are despised and I'm praised. You die and I live. You're nothing, but I am something. And I'm the more something because you are nothing. And thus I spend my life admiring the distance between you and me. At times, this even helps me to forget the other men who have what I have not, and who have taken what I was too slow to take, and who have seized what was beyond my reach, and who are praised as I cannot be praised, and who live on my death. The person who lives in such a division is living in death. That person cannot possibly find himself because he is lost and has ceased to be. So if I am to be holy, I must therefore be open to something that I do not understand, something mysterious and hidden, something apparently self-contradictory. For God in Christ emptied himself. He became a man, and he dwelt among us sinners. He was considered a sinner. He was put to death as a blasphemer, as one who at least implicitly denied God. And indeed, the great question in the trial and condemnation of Christ was precisely the denial of God, the denial of his holiness. So he put himself to death on the cross because he did not measure up to man's conception of his holiness. If then we want to seek the way of being holy, we must first of all renounce our own way, our own wisdom. We must empty ourselves. We must deny ourselves, in some sense, make ourselves nothing, in order that God may begin to recreate within us that which he has been calling us all along. None of this can be achieved by my effort alone, by any striving of mine alone, by any competition with other men alone. It means leaving all the ways that men can follow or understand. I, who am without love, cannot become love unless love identifies me with him. But if he sends his love himself to act in love in me and in all that I do, then I shall be transformed. I shall discover who I am, because apart from God, I cannot know who I am. Shall we pray? The silence of these moments, reflecting on my own journey, my own identity. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going, I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire to please you. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may not know anything about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though at times I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you never leave me to face my perils alone. For this is our prayer, in Jesus' name.